Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Tell me, do you know what day it is, Evie?
November the 4th.
Not anymore. Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot.
That's your name.
I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. First, the overture. Yes. Yes, the strings. Listen carefully, can you hear it? Now the brass.
I can hear it.
The crescendo.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
I used to be an ad when I was a little kid that Robert Klein used to make fun of, but it's so true. He's an old announcer who was a big, big old radio announcer way back, I mean, you know, 80, 90 years ago, named Don Wilson. Big, great voice. And he used to do these. Later on, when TV came in, he became like a spokesman for a lot of these ads. And there was this is back when the day of records, there were all these record offers. I still do them now, by the way. You see, Time Life has all these record offers and stuff. But there was one that, and it was for, it was always classical music. And there was a line in there that I always thought was funny. And it was one of those, like, you know, you pay them, I don't know, $100 or whatever back then. And they send you like this box of 10 records or whatever. And you know, and they would play the highlights of some of the classical music that you'd recognize, like that piece. You would have recognized that, and you would have recognized, you know, the William Tell Overture and some other ones, and Beethoven's Fifth. And he says, it just, I don't know why, it just strikes me funny. It probably won't strike you funny, but I just thought it was such a bizarre thing to say. He said, this is all the classical music your family will ever need. Like, it was, what the hell does that mean? I never understood it at the time. I still don't. That you'll ever need. Like, what is that? Like a, like suggested daily, you know, like vitamin C and vitamins. What the hell? The government has determined that this is the exact amount of
that is
classical
funny.
Music that you can need. No more, no less. Don't listen to anything else.
And if I want to add a couple of records, like, you know, I'm a big fan of Tchaikovsky.
No,
you just get them. You get the 1812 overture, and that's it.
that's all you need.
And
if you listen to anything else, you're overdosing. You're putting yourself at risk, young man. Don't do it. I never understood that line. All the classical music your family will ever... Junior, have you been sneaking in that Schubert again? I told you, we have all the classical music we need. So, but Mom, shut up. Breaking it over his knee, you know, just, I told you.
Are we at war? Like they should have said, help our boys beat back the Hun. Send some Sebastian Bach.
Don't bring, he's sneaking it in under his, you know, under his books and stuff. What is that? What have you got there? Have you got some Wagner there? You do, don't you? No, I swear, I know. It's Chuck Berry. No, it's not. I know it's not. Oh, man, that was, I just, isn't that funny? It's so many years ago, and I still remember because it was such a bizarre line. I just enjoyed that. So, anyway, I digress. One of the great things about going through all these old World Series programs that I do is it must have been fun to be in advertising back then, because you had to really come up with clever catchphrases. You know, like this is a good one. Isn't this a good one? Like I saw this and today I was reading the World Series program from this was a bizarro World Series, by the way, 1912, a little more than 100 years ago, the Red Sox. There was a tie game in this World Series. They played 11 innings and then it got too dark. It had no lights. So it was 6-6 after 11 innings and they all just they bagged it. And they said they started all over again. They wound up playing 8 games that year. But anyway, because the series went to 7 games, there was an ad in there for Arrow shirts, which they still make now, don't they? Arrow shirts are still made, aren't they?
Arrow shirts, you say?
They're not?
I'm not sure. Let's see here.
Let's go type that in the old phone-a-roo. Arrow shirts. I know they were around when I was a kid. Arrow shirts for men? Sure they are. They sold at Kohl's right there. Arrow slim, wrinkle-free dress shirt at Kohl's. And the catchphrase was, some shirts look right when you buy them, arrows look right when you wear them. Oh, that was
that's kind of clever. Okay.
Right? I was like, that was pretty good.
Yeah, snack on that for lunch, Hanes.
So, anyway, I digress. All right, we've got another hour to go. We got Matt Norlander is going to join us. And that's going to be, especially for Louisville fans, I think a rather compelling conversation because the simple fact of the matter is what he wrote about is got to be on everybody's mind around here. And that is if they decided to throw the bag of hammers at Oklahoma State, who seemingly barely dipped their toe into the realm of impropriety, God knows what they might do to Louisville. I mean, that's what he wrote about, and we'll talk to him about, you know, his thoughts on it and what he's found out, and there's a part of me, well, obviously I wish Louisville was not in the situation they're in anyway, just as a fan. I certainly would want to see that. But there's a very big part of me that wishes that it wasn't Louisville involved in this because my disgust for the NCAA has made a complete like 180, basically. I used to say for years that the NCAA is a group of people that are trying to do the right thing with an archaic system that just doesn't allow it to do the right thing. They're representatives of the schools, and the laws that they're passing are ridiculous.
It's like trying to wax a car with a toaster or something.
I mean, that's what it is. Exactly. That was the analogy I gave. It was like, hey, you can be trying your ass off, but you're not going to get very far with that. And so it's the same thing. But the more I've talked to people and I've heard, you know, anecdotal stories and this is what's telling for me, is I've heard stories from people with no dog in the fight. In other words, their school hasn't been, you know, in any way of the crosshairs of the NCAA, but they've talked to people because my thought was they were always trying to do the right thing. But Bill has told me this because God knows he's had the NCAA in his crosshairs for years now, that he was talking to somebody from the Pac-12 who said the same thing that I said at the start here to Billis, which was I thought that the NCAA was just people trying to do the right thing. And he had, now again, it's anecdotal, but he had firsthand information that there was definitely people who went into meetings that definitely impacted certain coaches and schools who clearly had a vendetta. Clearly, we're disgusted with, you know, there's a lot of egos and athletics, and these guys went in there and were just out to, it's a variation on the, you know, you can get mad if you're a Kentucky fan at this, but when Jerry Tarkanian, who was the target of a lot of their wrath for a long time, you can say rightly or wrongly, but, you know, he used to poke fun at the fact that they would seem like bullies go after the schools that couldn't really defend themselves. So he said Kentucky committed another violation, so they added 2 more years probation to Cleveland State. You know, and that was, and again, you know, as I said, Kentucky fans get mad because, oh, you're implying that Kentucky was doing all these things, but put another school in there if it'll make you happier. The gist of what he's saying is, like bullies, they would, you know, pick certain schools, and A, they was a personal vendetta, or B, were not in a position of where there was a lot of money involved, and they certainly weren't going to mess with their own money. You know, that's the other thing. They weren't going to mess with their own money. And all you got to do is look how they interact with two primary groups. I mean, college football, you could say, well, they don't want to mess with them because they don't want to mess with the money. But the NCAA gets very little money. The NCAA gets very little money from football. We've already been through this. The schools get vast amounts of money, the schools and the conferences. But the NCAA gets very little because about 40 years ago, goes all the way back now, football started getting disgusted with the NCAA and basically told them to go spit in their hat and said, look, you know, we'll kind of let you hang around with us if you want because we need you for other things. We need you to oversee our other sports. And you know, until we'll tie them all together, we'll all be in the same conference. Football schools will be in, and then our volleyball teams will play each other and basketball teams and everything else. But they started, I think it was called the CFA at that time, College Football Association, and they made their own rules, and they did – and they keep all the money. They spend all the money, and they keep all the money, and the NCAA gets a tiny fraction of their budget from football, so that they can't mess with football, and they know it. Football at any moment could, you know, they wouldn't want to do it because it would lead to a lot of logistical problems for the rest of their sports. It's just a matter of convenience that they stay with the NCAA, to be honest with you, but it's not, it's got very little to do with a practical reason. So the NCAA can't mess with them because they're too powerful. So the other group that they mess with are the people who aren't going to fight back, who can't fight back. And, you know, and so they do that either with the schools, you know, the analogy you gave earlier, you go after the Cleveland States, or, which makes it even sicker right now, is they go after the schools that turn themselves in, which is unbelievable. That's the part that completely baffles all of us. Because the whole point of the NCAA was supposed to be an organization that takes the rules from the universities. The universities themselves vote. They put the rules together. And then they work together to make, you know, whatever system they're trying to adjudicate, the rules they all voted on. They try and they figure out how they're going to all work together to make those rules work. So now you get schools that are trying to figure out how to help you. As an organization, we are here to help you, not to truck us up. Sorry.
A little Glengarry on a Friday.
It's impossible to get through a show without a Glengarry reference. You are here to help us, not to truck us up. So that's the schools are trying to help the NCAA, and instead of saying, "Oh, hey, thanks," you know, you were as cooperative, and they throw the bag of hammers at him. That's what the poor guy in Oklahoma State was basically in tears. His kids can't play in the postseason, and if they're not going to the postseason for that, I just can't. I don't see how. I don't want to be a naysayer, but I mean, how the hell is Louisville going to, you know, be shown any mercy? Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. Please convince me I'm wrong.
No, seriously. I mean, that was kind of. I mean. We played it on all the shows numerous times, the Mike Boynton clip.
When you see that kind of
$300, and they did everything they could to cooperate, and they're still giving them a postseason ban. And not only that, they made the due process a pain in the ass. They had to meet on game days and everything.
Yes.
The words of Mark Ennis, it was very pig-headed. And the analogy I gave, I said it was like a movie, like a Saw, you know, torture scene where they had to crawl through glass to pick what weapon to murder themselves with. It was none of it made sense. None of it seemed justified. And if that's what they're going to do to them for $300, I mean, the writing's on the wall for the one school that had priors going in that you could almost not justifiably, but kind of like understand, well, if they're going to get a major hammer, kind of okay, that, you know, they went in on probation. But I don't know. I scoffed, and so did Mike. Mike literally went, no, there's no way. When Eric Crawford, I think, was on with us and said that.
Mike who?
Mike Pratt.
Oh, Pratt. Oh.
Like, I've never heard Mike seriously ever react like this to a guest before. I think I want to say it was Eric Crawford, but he was saying what he thought the potential punishment could be, and he said a multi-year postseason suspension. And the second he got to shin in suspension, Mike, the UK luminary, everyone always likes to turn it into a rivalry, but the UK guy came flying in and said that was absolutely asinine. And now, I mean, it doesn't look that crazy.
Well, no, it's sad. It doesn't, and that's so. I said nothing, and it. It's very bully-ish. I mean, that's the whole point. It's like they've lost every lawsuit that has come up before them for, I don't know how many years, the last 5 years. Everybody who has gotten to the point where they said the fight, they've been able to justify taking the fight to court, the NCAA has lost. So that's what a bully does. When a bully says, well, you know, these three people in town have beaten me up. Now I have to go find some more of the poor little band kids over here and kick the crap out of them because I got to reassert my strength. And so that's what they're doing because they realize their relevance is being diminished. And it's sad because when you, I mean, it's sad just in general on face value, it's sad, but it's even more angering because it's so transparent. These guys are so afraid that somebody's going to take the trough away from them. I mean, look how much money the I mean, that drives Mike nuts. How much money? What the hell's the guy's name? The guy who heads the NCAA now. And all of a sudden, I'm drawing a blank on his name. You know, the gray haired guy that's running the whole show there. You know, he's making oodles of dough and making millions of dollars.
Mark Emmert, who?
Yeah, Mark Emmert.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I don't know. I just drew a blank on his name. But he is, and the commissioners are, and they're all feeding it. And look how many people they've got on the payroll, and they're all feeding at that trough. And so they're zealously trying to show, we're still relevant. We still control our sport. So we'll throw a bag of hammers anywhere we think we can get away with it. Because every time they do throw it at somebody else who decides to fight them, they lose. And so there's nothing that's – so I've changed. I've gone a whole 180 on them. I really have. It's a shame because I really did, you know, when I dealt with a lot of them in the past, I really thought they were just people that were trying to get it right, that really had the best interest of college sport. And you know what it is? It's sad to say, but it's probably true. You know, what is that old cliche? Money's the root of all evil. When I started in the business, there was not remotely the money. I mean, I tell people this all the time. When Mike Krzyzewski and my brother Jim both started, they started the same year in the ACC. Their salary was $40,000. That's what they got paid. $40,000. John Wooden's top salary at UCLA, top salary, was $32,500. It wasn't as much money. So it was not, it was the people who did it because they loved it. They loved sports and they loved, you know, the university atmosphere. And now it's very difficult to believe that that's what motivates them. What motivates them is money. What motivates almost all of them is money. And, you know, I mean, on the one hand, I can't begrudge it because you get it. That's what our society's predicated on. If all of a sudden, I don't know. I mean, well, you know, Pet Rocks, this crazy concoction that when I was a kid they came up with. It was a tongue in cheek thing. I don't know how much money they made off that, but people decided they wanted to buy Pet Rocks, so they bought them and people made money off of it. I mean, there's always this something like that goes on all the time. Those little fidget things, whatever. Somebody, if it catches on, then that's fine. You don't begrudge. As long as somebody's not doing it illegally or doing something to hurt somebody, that's fine. Right now, we are a sports-obsessed culture. There's never been such an infatuation with sports as there is now. I mean, pick, and it's not just, you know, I use baseball, but only because the numbers are handy to me off the top of my head because I remember them. But people, unfortunately, I think will translate that as, oh, you see, you're talking about the interest in a sport that's not as popular as it once was. Well, even if that's true, this number wouldn't back you up, because the point I'm making is when I was a kid, I was old enough even then at least to remember it was a big deal if your team went over 1 million fans. And I remember the Mets went over 2 million fans 1 year, and you know, people went nuts about how popular the Mets were. And they weren't that good yet. They were just, but there was such a huge interest in them. I'm looking right now. I'm stalling a little bit. Every team in the major leagues, except 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and you can guess who they are, went over 1 million fans. And 2, 4, 6, 6 of them went over 2 million fans. And the top, almost half of the league went over 1.5 million fans. You can't tell me there's more people that love baseball now than did in the 1960s. I mean, if anything, you're going to say, well, baseball has lost interest. The people have lost interest. Well, okay, well, if that's the case, why? And the tickets are way more expensive now than when they were when I was a kid. Way more. I mean, even relative to in real dollars. So the fact of the matter is, it's because just as a country, we're obsessed by sports. It's a thing to do. We go out. The companies buy tickets. Everybody goes. It's a thing to do. When I was young, you went to baseball if you were a baseball fan, basically. That's who went to baseball games. Baseball fans. Just like now, you go to the opera if you like opera. You don't generally just go up to, hey, two guys getting together, sitting around, playing Xbox. What do you like doing? Oh, let's go to the opera. Right. That doesn't work that way. That's how baseball was. But now, baseball, basketball, football, anything, soccer, we go because we are obsessed with sports. And so I can't begrudge the people who are making more money at it, the same way you couldn't begrudge somebody who made money off Pet Rocks. They tapped into something that we're interested in as a culture, and so good for them. Good for I don't begrudge the athletes the money, or the coaches, or even the administrators. But the problem is when the administrators are keeping their power by being incompetent and inconsistent and disingenuous, yeah, then I have a problem. And it's hard to look at the NCAA right now and see that that isn't going on, because they're very terrified that they're going to be, as I've said many times on this show, glorified party planners. There's not a doubt in my mind if somebody, I don't know who it would be, I don't know, Bezos, or who are those, the two most wealthiest guys in the world, or whatever, or the guy with the Tesla or whatever. If they, for some inexplicable reason, decided that they wanted to completely recreate college sports in this country, you could do it in a heartbeat. I could do it if I had enough money. I mean, I could recreate a whole system. I would make all the conferences predicated on sport. I'd make them sport-specific conferences. And I'd come up. I could run – the TV network could run the championships. You don't need the NCAA to run the men's basketball tournament. TV could run it the same way they basically oversee. I mean, they could coordinate just like they coordinate with the NFL, or they coordinate with the golf tournaments. They could do it. But it's a pain in the ass. I mean, how much work it would take, and nobody's got the money nor the time to do it right now, because you'd have to disband all your conferences, all the built-in games that you've got right now that exist. You'd have to do, like right now, the let's just use Louisville as an example. I mean, there's a whole bunch of built-in games for all those sports, for soccer, for tennis, for track, for volleyball, for, baseball. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you did what would make more sense, though, and go by sport specific, everybody have to read this, figure out who they should be in with, and it would be a lot of scrambling around, and the amount of work is mind boggling. But that wasn't what I asked at the beginning. I asked, could you do it? Absolutely. I mean, there's no question you could do it, and it would probably make as much, if not more, sense financially than what the NCAA does. So the NCAA has to justify its existence. So they run their party planners for championships, and they also, every once in a while, throw the bag of hammers at somebody to say, see, we're doing what you hired us to do. We are, we don't make the rules. You make the rules. We're just here to enforce them. But they enforce them in a way that is self-serving, in my opinion. Because nobody in their right mind would look at this and say, boy, you're really if that were the case, there would be real deterrence for people to cheat. There's no deterrence. I mean, it's kind of like, baseball for the longest time had a steroid problem that was far greater than it is now, because the deterrence that they offered were ridiculous. They didn't, so I sit out 50 games or 25 games, big deal. I just got a contract that's worth, $20 million. I was a $300,000 a year man. Now I've got a $20 million contract for, 7 years, because now I'm starting to hit 50 home runs a season. So fine, take away half a season for me. I don't care. But now it's more serious than that. And there's more of a deterrent, a more of a legitimate deterrent. But whatever the NCAA is doing in their mind that they think is deterring people from cheating, obviously is not having any kind of an impact. I mean, it's just, it's not. And that's when I said maybe it's time to re-examine how you do your business, because most of the money's coming from outside sources, shoe companies and things like that. So NIL is just the tip of the iceberg, but it's the first. And they only got dragged kicking and screaming into admitting that that's, you know, a legitimate thing that should be discussed. So, you know, it's just it's very, very difficult for me to look at that and say that they're doing a good job and for the right reasons. Do I have something that I can tell people about? I believe. I hope I do. I think I do. Yeah. Well, now there's that. Yeah, I'm not. I'm going to break because I told you I'm not going to go looking for stuff, so I'll find it later. We got stuff from our friends. Oh, I can do this one. Here's one. This is an easy one because this is exciting stuff. I could tell people about our friends at Genesis Diamonds. This is an announcement of a pre-sale because the sale's coming up next weekend, but it's so good, you're going to want to actually, it's appointment visiting, if you want to call it that. Get ready for something incredible. It's the biggest and last store-wide sale of the year, the last one. Holidays coming up. Jewelry's going to be on your list for some people, I know, for that special someone. Don't let this go by unattended. It's next weekend, November 12th, 13th, and 14th. 3 days of extraordinary deals. 25, 30, 35% savings on some items. And keep in mind that Genesis rarely has a sale because their everyday prices beat everybody else's. So when they are taking additional percentages off, you know you've got yourself the real deal. And that's what this is. Special markdowns in every category. So don't say, well, I'm not getting married. What doesn't matter? There's rings, earrings, pendants, bands, bracelets, colored gemstones, everything. And the holidays are right around the corner. Go look at the calendar. You get the Genesis Diamonds value price plus extra discounts of 20, 25, up to 35%. And the selection is about double the norm. Genesis has invited their designer partners to bring in trunk loads of new fashion jewelry for this event. All new styles and designs in both fashion and bridal jewelry in every piece on sale. And on top of all this, you can take advantage of 0% interest financing. It's not this weekend. Again, a reminder, it's next weekend, but put it on your calendar. November 12th, 13th, and 14th, the final sale of the year and the biggest sale of the year exclusively at Genesis Diamonds. They also have those great luxury pre-owned Rolexes, Shelbyville Road Plaza. See the store for details at our friends at Genesis Diamonds. Now we're back for more in just a bit here on ESPN 680 1057.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I only know about this article because I was looking, getting ready for our next guest, Matt Norlander, and he has a link to it on Twitter. And let me see if I can find it again. I have to go see if I can find this here. Hang on. I'm going to find it because Drew Maggery. From, I guess it's San Francisco, I guess, right? It is a column about Aaron Rodgers that is, to put it, scathing is putting it mildly, but it's thought-provoking. I'll tell you what, it really is very, very thought-provoking. Those of us who've been involved in sports for basically all of our adult lives, it makes you pause for a minute, as does the topic we're going to visit with the CBS Sports' Matt Norlander about, and that is Oklahoma State being banned from the 2022 NCAA tournament after losing their appeal of the case tied to the FBI bribery investigation, and he just wrote about that. Matt joins us right now. Matt, thanks for joining us. Let me ask the first question that's on everybody's mind here in Louisville. How worried should Louisville fans be based on the fact they suspended Oklahoma State for essentially what's a $300 infraction from the postseason? And Louisville, of course, has had multiple issues before this stuff even comes up here. How worried should they be around here? Should they use – it's hard to tell with the NCAA about precedent, but what do you think?
I'd be concerned if I was a Louisville fan because, you know, there are many factors going into Louisville's case. Every single one of these cases, by the way, it's great to be with you. I need to say that off the top. It's just wonderful to hear your voice and to do another interview with you. So thank you for having me on. I appreciate you so much. Every case is different, and Louisville's is particularly different because you had another layer element go into this with, obviously, the Dino Gaudio stuff. Your listeners know exactly what I'm referring to. And some of these things have been folded together. In fact, as I understand it, Louisville's timeline to get any kind of adjudication on this has been pushed back. So the program in particular has been caught in the crosshairs of the NCAA more than any other program that's currently undergoing this, right? So, you know, since I wrote the story earlier in the week and I heard from a few coaches and I heard from a few people in the industry and I heard from a few people that, you know, are familiar with how the NCAA is doing all of this, the Oklahoma State getting the appeal denied and getting the ban is not a huge shock. The outrage was over the fact that it took 17 months when, for all intents and purposes, that appeals committee knew in, like, March that it was not going to overturn it. Now, it would have been unfair to overturn it, you know, 3 days before the NCAA tournament, but why not just announce it on April 15th for the next season? Mm-hmm. That was the huge issue. But nevertheless, the fact that the initial ruling came down, was a postseason ban, does have people, you know, expecting that the likes of LSU and Kansas, which have not self-imposed anything yet, could be certainly getting postseason bans. Arizona and Auburn, in the FBI investigation, did self-impose bans last season. So those are kind of, will the IARP wind up giving them another ban on top of that, or is that going to suffice? We wait and see. And then Louisville's just had so many different factors go into this because it had, it was on probation when more rules were broken. So I would be cautious, but unless my information is being presented to me inaccurately, I don't expect Louisville will have an answer to this before the end of the season. So it's more the 2023 postseason as opposed to 2022. I am not personally anticipating we will have an answer regarding Louisville before we get to April.
Unbelievable. It's the gift that just keeps on giving. I'll tell you, it's amazing. It just goes on and on and on. The Energizer Bunny has nothing on the what's going on here at Louisville. But just to review it for listeners, and you, again, they should go to CBS Sports and find your piece so you can read about it. Lamont Evans was the assistant who pleaded guilty in January 2019 and eventually spent 3 months in federal prison. They were one of 4 schools that had an assistant arrested by the FBI. And he was one of those, and there were bribes, but blah blah blah. But when you get right down to it, and correct me if I'm wrong, the NCAA infractions had to do with $300 improperly given to a player, who then paid it back and served a short suspension for it, and basically at the core of it, that's pretty much it. So you implied in the column that you think it was because Evans didn't cooperate with the NCAA. That they've said, we're going to show you. Is that really why they're being hammered so hard?
It's more than an implication. That's a direct factor. I mean, I have a source telling me that the fact that Lamont Evans did not cooperate with the NCAA, never met with them, and I've had a couple people say, why should he? He's clearly like, when this happens, you know, like, he's not returning to college coaching. There's nothing that is compelling him to even sit down. It would be one thing if he was employed by Oklahoma State and he was resisting. That's not what's happening here. So yes, it was an aggravating factor here. It wasn't just that he, the NCAA, the violation that was uncovered while the NCAA, you know, took the baton after the federal trials were over, was a $300 payment to former Oklahoma State player Jeffrey Carroll from Lamont Evans. And Carroll served that a 3-game suspension and paid it back, and et cetera, et cetera. Everything else that's tied into the postseason ban was the NCAA's enforcement committee and then infraction committee. These are two different groups here. The enforcement committee gets boots on the ground, does all the work, does all the research. The infraction committee reviews everything, does follow-up interviews, and determines what the punishments will be. And the infractions committee relied on, you know, I was in the courtroom almost every single day for both of those federal trials. So it relied on everything said under oath. The NCAA paid to have the transcripts, which was perfectly allowable. The NCAA even changed its rules to make it so that everything said in these trials could be used under their own purview to implement for, adjudicating cases because they couldn't compel. And Lamont Evans never spoke at trial because he pleaded guilty. He doesn't need to. He admitted guilt. But that doesn't mean that there weren't videotapes and audio wiretaps that were that had him, you know, scheming again, not to recruit players to Oklahoma State specifically. This was to link up with players when they were at the end of their high school careers or in college to eventually go and be represented by Christian Dawkins. I'm aware that your listeners are aware of a lot of this stuff, but just as a reminder, Christian Dawkins at the time, a guy in his early 20s who wanted to build his own agency, own marketing company. You know, he was trying to get players to do that, and there were some bribery and some fraud involved in some of that. And so, yes, Lamont Evans was agreeing to help steer these players. And those actions were enough for the NCAA to say we're going to be a postseason ban. The fact that he didn't talk with them was an aggravating factor and kind of, you know, cemented what the NCAA decided there.
Matt Norland is with us. Let me ask you two specific things before we go. I haven't seen any coach, I don't think, to date, really take the NCAA to task the way Boynton did. He was mentioning names on the enforcement staff, and I mean, and then just absolutely unloaded. His exact quote, it's no wonder nobody trusts them. They get to hide behind letters. He reminded everybody that their only violation was that secondary violation that they self-reported. Having said that, what impact does that have on the NCAA, if at all, do you think?
You know, I think there is some sort of impact inside the walls of the NCAA's headquarters, because what Mike Boynton did earlier this week was more forceful, emotional, and defiant than I've ever heard a coach be after a ruling had been cemented. Yes, we've seen plenty of coaches and athletic directors continue to show anger, contempt, frustration, throw up their hands. Never seen a coach get that emotional. Never seen a coach literally publicly call out people on the infractions committee, people on the appeals board, because his point is correct. It's that these people don't have to, they get to go to these campuses and maybe conduct an interview or two with people, then everyone else gets has to go to them in Indianapolis or wherever. And in the time of a pandemic, some of that even changed. They get to inconvenience coaches on their own schedule. And then when it comes down, you have one representative hop on a media call for 35 to 40 minutes to kind of blandly lay out the same thing over and over. I've pressed these people in media calls before, and frankly, it's completely unsatisfactory. It's never as transparent as it should be for schools, for the general public. And so for Boynton to say, here are the names of these people, and in particular, Stan Wilcox, who is a high-ranking official. In fact, Boynton was referencing a report from our own Dennis Dodd at CBS Sports when Wilcox came out more than a year ago at this point. It's been a while, and said, we're going to have these huge cases come down and you know, basically in no uncertain terms saying, you know, there's going to be at least four huge, you know, NOAs handed out in this kind of timeline and kind of setting the expectation publicly for what should be happening. Boynton's point was, when the messaging is coming from on high inside the building through the public, it's like the outcome's already been decided. So mm-hmm. Do I think that has an impact on how the NCAA handles this? Maybe a little bit. I mean, you can't tell me that what Boynton said did not catch the attention of every single person associated with the NCAA, because why wouldn't it? It was really quite something. And I wonder if the next time we have a coach in this position, if they might not feel empowered to do the same kind of thing. Because ultimately, what does it mean? Not a ton, but I'll tell you what, like that kind of stuff will only empower Boynton with his players, who now, you know, that program, what does it have to play for? Pride and a regular season Big 12 champion, a regular season Big 12 title. We'll see if they can get there. But yeah, that was quite a moment earlier this week.
All right, here's the other question, and I know you've been asked, I'm sure, this before, because it's been bandied about going all the way back to North Carolina, whether you think that's the right example for it or not. But why should anybody cooperate with the NCAA now? Now, it seems like the best approach now is to just fight them as hard as you can, almost irrationally if you have to, but you get nothing. I mean, the whole idea when the NCAA was set up, as naive as it sounds, was they were supposed to work in cooperation with the schools. The schools put the rules in place. The NCAA would help them implement them. They'd work together, and they'd have this wonderful panacea of amateur athletics. It's almost laughable to say now. But now it sounds like it's such an adversarial relationship. You might as well acknowledge it at that and just fight them. What motivation could there be to work with them? And here's another example of that, isn't it?
Only motivation could be that the NCAA, like a school could say, listen, we think like we're getting a postseason ban anyway, or we're getting this kind of severe punishment anyway. We're not going to cooperate. You know, it's just not going to happen. And the only way the NCAA can fight back on that, because you will hear this from Committee on Infractions representatives on these calls. It's like, had this school not been as cooperative as it was, the punishment could have been harsher. So in a theoretical, like, let's just go completely hypothetical. This isn't happening. I'm not saying it is. But, like, let's say Louisville is staring at a one-year postseason ban in 2023. But then the administration just says, we're not going to play ball, okay? We are going to make this as tough and as hard as possible for the NCAA, Committee on Infractions, or the IARP, right? Well, in that case, they could maybe say, all right, you're going to make this harder. How do you like 2 years? No postseason. How about three? How about 3 years you're ineligible for the postseason if you don't want to play with us? That's why ultimately I think it happens, because they get targeted with these threats and they're not worried about the recourse, the fallout, the lawsuits, which would inevitably come if that wound up happening, by the way. But I think that's basically your answer, is the threat of even greater fines from the NCAA and then the postseason bans, which means so much because, as you well know, getting to the postseason and have an opportunity to play in your conference tournament, to play in the NCAA tournament, extend your season. That's when everyone's paying attention to college basketball. Those things are supremely valuable. They change the directions of careers for coaches, assistant coaches. And so to hang that over the heads of a program, you know, we can debate the ethics of all that until the sun goes down. I think that's why you ultimately see programs wind up cooperating, but there are definitely people that think you should never cooperate. Make it as hard as possible on the NCAA and make them claw and scratch and beg and pester and delay and keep on going and going and going and going. And as one example, you know, as I understand it, that's kind of what LSU has done with Will Wade. Like that's the problem. Now they're going to eventually get hit, and I think that I personally believe that Will Wade is going to be faced with a significant personal punishment that will have him no longer coaching LSU eventually. But until that day comes, that approach has led him to land top 25 recruiting classes and make the NCAA tournament and have a ranked team and continue to coach this team another year, two or three longer than he might have otherwise.
He's going to have fun till his dad takes his T-Bird away. Beach Boys reference to bring it all home.
I'm all on it, no doubt.
Thanks for the kind words, by the way, and appreciate you being with us. Are you going to New York for the Champions Classic?
I will be there.
I'll see you up there, and that'll be great. So I'm looking forward to it.
I'll be sure to find you. All right.
Travel safe.
So
thanks again, Matt.
Have a wonderful weekend, and good luck with all the Aaron Rodgers stuff on the radio the rest of the day. All right?
Yeah. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, later.
Matt Nolander from CBS Sports with us. Hey, do you have chronic joint pain, knees hurting, hips aching? It's time to think about an exciting new way to treat joint pain with biologic therapies, regenerative solutions. I'm talking about QC Kinetics. Lots of people here have already called QC Kinetics. They're the leader in helping people deal with chronic pain with no surgery, no drugs, no steroids, no downtime. These natural pain treatments can actually repair and restore damaged tissue in your joints with long-lasting results. I'm telling you, biologic solutions helps your body heal itself. Call QC Kinetics now to learn more at 502-219-4636. If you have joint pain due to arthritis, lower back pain, shoulder, hip, knee pain, you need to change the way you think about pain treatments and discover the biologic therapies of QC Kinetics. Get moving again. Get your life back. No surgery, no drugs. Call QC Kinetics now to learn more. 502-219-4636. That's 502-219-4636. Regenerative, restorative, real pain relief. 502-219-4636 at QC Kinetics. Give them a call. All right. Also, a couple of other notes. Please, you can... Malik Cunningham is going to be at the brand new Planet Fitness at 4025 Poplar Level Road. It's the old Kmart building right off the Waterson from 7 to 8 p.m. on Monday. Open to the public. So go take a picture with Malik, see him, get some autographs. He'll be out there. That's at Poplar Level Road, the old Kmart building, to see Malik Cunningham on Monday. Go check in with him there. We're going to do the Sagarins real fast. I'll have to make my picks. You're going to have to trust me. I will send them in an email to Mike and to Nick, and that'll be my picks for this week. So I'll update the scoreboard next week. We already did Pratt's picks. I've got to make mine, but I'm not going to have time to do that and do the Sagarins. So let's do the Sagarins right now, and then we can blitz through that in just a few minutes and take them under advisement for your investments plays this weekend. It's always fun to do. The Sagarins have been good to us in recent years on this program. So if Nick's got the sounder ready, we will go to this.
We're not going to have time to do the sounder. So just we've got 4 minutes to do these things. So let's shoot.
You say that every week, and I do it with a minute to spare. But if
all right, we have 4 minutes. So let's just hop right into it, baby.
Okay, well, I've got to get the Sagarin numbers up here, which I will do right now.
I got Sagarin the point spreads, so let's do it.
And let's tee it up. All right, we start, the first game on our list is going to be the, that game's over, the Colts and the Jets. The Raiders and the Giants. And this one is
Laying 3.
3-point favorites. The Sagarins say should be 2-point favorites, so that's a no play. The Chargers are on the road to play the Eagles. What do you got for a spread there?
Chargers laying 1.5.
That's exact right on the number, 1.49. So how about that? How about the Ravens at home against the Vikings? What do you got?
Ravens, Vikings, you can hear that on 93.9 The Ville Sunday. Ravens laying 6.
That may be too many. They should only be laying about 3.5. So, sadly, you might want to take the Vikings in that one, but hopefully the Ravens will still win. Dolphins at home against the Texans, the hapless Texans. What do you got going there?
Dolphins and Texans, Miami laying 5.5.
Right on the number. Exactly. No play there. Patriots and the Panthers in Carolina.
Patriots, let's see here. Patriots laying 3.5.
Too many. Should only be laying 1.5. Maybe a weak Carolina play at home. Buffalo Bills, the best offense and the best defense in the league. Not surprisingly, the Sagarins say they should beat Jacksonville on the road by 13. What do you got?
The Bills, they're laying 14.5. So just missed.
Yeah, probably not enough. See, it's unbelievable once the season goes on how the Sagarins are right on the point spreads. It's amazing. The Bengals taking on the Browns. Bengals should be just under 2-point favorite. That's about right on the number, isn't it?
Battle for Ohio. Bengals laying 2.5 at home.
No play there. Saints against the Falcons. Now, the Saints should be 10.5-point favorites.
According to this, the Saints are 6-point favorites.
Well, that's because of the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
But maybe you could play the Saints. I might still play them. I don't know. We'll see. They're at home. They're tough at home. Packers without Aaron Rodgers against the Chiefs. It's almost a pick 'em according to this. What do you got there?
Well, this right now has Kansas City laying 7.5.
Wow, I don't know. That may be too
many.
So,
not a ton of faith in Jordan Love, evidently.
That's not. Dallas Cowboys home against Denver. Cowboys should be 8-point favorites.
The Fighting Steve Rummages are laying 10. Against Teddy and the Broncos.
Maybe too many. Although recent play, they should be 11.5-point favorites. They've been playing a lot better than Denver of late, so I don't know. Rams, good Rams team against the Titans team. Rams are should be 4-point favorites in this in Los Angeles.
Rams are 7-point favorites.
Ooh, maybe too many. Take the Titans and take the points. Arizona and the 49ers. Arizona is on the road to San Francisco. They should be laying about 3.5.
They are laying 2.5. The Niners.
Okay. All right. I don't know. But then again, recently they've been playing a lot better than San Francisco, so I don't know. San Francisco's had some quarterback issues. Not sure how much faith I'd have in that game. Steelers wrapping it up against the Bears. The Steelers are home. They're 6.5-point favorites, according to Sagarin. What do you got for us?
All right. According to that, 6.5. Steelers.
So no real strong plays in this week's bunch, so you're going to have to just figure it out yourself unless you trust New Orleans with their quarterback situation being knocked around a little bit with Winston being out. But that one or the Packers, not a lot of faith in Jordan Love. If you think he could come through for you, then you should take those points from Kansas City. But that's tough. Kansas City needs this game. They're home. I don't know. It's a scary landscape right now, I'll tell you that. But good luck to you wherever you happen to be playing. And thanks so much for listening to us. We'll be back with you Monday. We'll be in New York Tuesday and Wednesday, so no show. We'll run up there for the Champions Classic. And then we'll be back Thursday next week. So Monday, Thursday, Friday for the V Show next week. Meantime, you guys have a safe weekend. Please be careful out there. And thank you for spending time with us. The Take is next. Don't forget the mixtape, of course. Whale penis. Maybe I can get on with that.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook wants you to be in control of your football bets. That's why players love the same game.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.